You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN. Your home for K-State Athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Has Caitlin Clark made a full heel turn? I think there may be an argument, at least an accidental heel turn.
Or do you think it's just the blossoming of her actual attitude? You know, I think it's just her.
The attitude cranked up to 11, the competitiveness,
it's just
her competitive nature cranked
just
up.
Just because we don't have the footage of her dad telling her to calm down this game like we did the last one.
Well, because K-State baseball against Nebraska has been canceled, we'll bring you a full 2 hours of the show today. That'll feature K-State women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty will join us at 4:40 as we'll put a bow on this season. Since he's coming on at 4:40, it is Tuesday, so we're going to do Jabroni of the Week before Jeff Mitty comes on here in hour number one. Hour number two, we'll get into some K-State men's basketball, coaching carousel, transfer portal, Cam Carter. We'll tackle all of it. Speaking of tackles in the NFL, they are making major changes to the kickoff. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of like it.
Dude.
But we'll get everybody's opinions in hour number two, plus a little bit of Ask Us Anything. And before we can do it on Caitlin Clark, we've had the TV here in the studio on the news all day long. Not on sports news, on like national news, like the 24/7 channels. And I don't think I've ever seen this before of what's taken place in Baltimore, that cargo ship losing power twice, like early hours of this morning, runs into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I don't care what kind of foundation that bridge had. It wasn't going to hold back. It wasn't going to be able to hold tight with this cargo ship running into it, and it collapsed the bridge.
No bridge is built to withstand that.
No.
Let's be perfectly honest. The weight of what is on that ship at the speed it was moving, no way.
I don't know. That Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco looks like it could take a beating.
That, man, the footage is insane. Really, the video is just, and even the aftermath. You know, everything's, they're just kind of sitting there. It's wild.
I said this earlier, but in some ways what I'm struck by in terms of how it went down, it looked like the tail end of an antenna.
Yeah.
You know, say a broadcast antenna coming down, if you've ever seen that. Just an amazing collapse.
If you've ever been, if you were down at the Sugar Bowl when K-State played and when it was in New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is pretty close to the tail end, the south end of the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And Mississippi River has huge boats, ships that sail down it all the time. And so there are gigantic bridges. They're not the longest, but mm-hmm. they're really high up. Mm-hmm. So it's arching pretty high just to get over the bridge. And so you see these kind of bridges all the time down there. Obviously around here, they're not necessary, but out east and on the East Coast, these kind of bridges are all over the place, and it's still amazing that it's tall enough, because that cargo ship is extremely tall with all the cargo on it. I'm curious to know what's in all that.
Right.
But you're right. It's just sitting there now. It's just sitting in the water with like the bridge kind of draped over the nose. And right now what the process is there's a handful of people still missing. So there's just a gigantic search taking place on trying to find these people that are missing that, of course, were apparently on the bridge when it all took place.
Just insane.
Well, luckily, when the ship lost power, they were able to get a mayday signal out, and there was employees on the bridge that stopped traffic, so there wasn't as many cars on it. It could have been a lot worse than what it was. So I think
timing of the morning, I mean, it was 1:46 local time when this happened. I mean, yeah, there were a lot of things that played into it being lessened in terms of cost of life, but it's still, though, you're still looking for a handful of people potentially that weren't able to get off that bridge in time. It just, what an absolute amazing thing to watch, and it stuns you in just the breadth of what that bridge had to go across. Mm-hmm. When you see, you know, I made the comment this morning about the fact that it is called the river, and Brandon is like, that's the freaking harbor. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, it's the mouth of the river, but essentially, yeah, you're right. And you know, this is going to mess up their traffic for years. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Barely a 50-year-old bridge.
Yeah, not something you could just rebuild real quick with the size of that bridge at all.
No.
So I think they found two people so far, and they're still searching for six. This is the last update I remember reading. Ooh. So, yeah.
Well, let's get to the sports. As I mentioned in the open, no K-State baseball tonight. That game against Nebraska, which on paper was going to be a big game. Nebraska's lucky that they don't have to play now because K-State's the hottest team in America. Nebraska is like lukewarm when it comes to their winning streak because K-State's, what, at 9? I think Nebraska's at 7 or something like that. They've won. But they haven't played any Big Ten games yet. They beat up on North Dakota State and, like, I don't know, Nichols or whatever.
Yeah.
And, nobody truly impressive. So K-State was going to steamroll over the Cornhuskers tonight, but unfortunately, due to the weather, that's not going to happen. Is the snow melted yet? Is it all gone, Deej? I haven't been outside in hours.
I haven't seen any, so yeah. Good to go.
This afternoon you haven't seen any?
I have none. Okay. Let's go.
I didn't know if you slept in today or
Get
something.
Get back out there, boys.
It's just brisk, though.
It's
that's
so cold. God, it's cool.
Well, and I was telling, I can't remember who I was talking to yesterday. There's always, it's every season with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and this is separate from the, like, first home games of the year where we're just expecting cold. But it's like you get into the late, maybe the last week of March, like what we're in now, and you get into April, there seems to be that rogue midweek game. You're just playing the one. And it's super cold, and it's super windy. And I remember the days where we would do the media stuff with Brad Hill right after the game, so we would go on the field and do it, and it sucked. I was like, how did you players deal with this for 3 hours? And we're talking I think this was pre-heaters in the dugout. Now they do have heat in the dugout. So it's not as bad for the players if you're just camping in the dugout all game and you're not on the field or going for at-bats. You're not too bad.
Right.
It's just the wind that may freeze your cheeks a little bit.
Oof.
And so, but it happens every year. This one's just a little bit colder, and we had a little bit of snow, and yeah, so had to postpone. So it's a bit of a bummer, but Texas will be here in 2 days.
I walked out this morning and saw snow and ice on the windshield, and I said, just give it up. Winter?
It's March.
Get out of here.
What do you think? This isn't Buffalo.
No. Punxsutawney already said it's coming. Get out of here.
Wait, is it early spring or was it 6 more weeks?
It was early spring.
Was it early spring?
Yeah, they're making the groundhog a liar. That's what they're doing.
Get out of here, man.
Back to the Caitlin Clark thing. So yesterday it was the final day of the first round of the NCAA tournament the second round of the NCAA tournament for the women. And let me tell you, this second round has been full of highlights. And it's not highlights of a game that's in play. It's a lot of trash talking. Caitlin Clark is in the center of it. She's not alone. There's been plenty of players across the field that have been doing a lot of trash talking. But, of course, Caitlin Clark at Iowa, who's the leading scorer in basketball history collegially, is in the center of it. I believe it was last night's game. West Virginia makes a play, and she looks over yonder and lets out an F-bomb along with a few other words. And it's not just that. It's also the arguing with the officials. It really blew up last night. They survived. They beat West Virginia, which that's another argument. West Virginia, who is a fantastic defensive team. They're the best team in the country that forces turnovers, like 23, 24 a game. They only forced 15 last night. Caitlin Clark had like 33 points. She hit 5 threes in the game, so she was still a star. But at the end of the game, I mean, like the fouling and the free throws was completely lopsided. So I don't think if you're West or if you're Iowa, there was a whole lot to argue about. Maybe West Virginia got the shaft because some of those whistles were pretty questionable. Mm-hmm. And I've always said women's basketball officiating is worse than the men's. Mm-hmm. But Caitlin went a little viral last night because of her getting animated with the officials and then cussing at people in the crowd or wherever. Well, I mean, Cameron Brink at Stanford looked over to the Iowa State bench the other night and said, F you. You know, she's not the only one in the country that gets a little animated, that gets a little bit, you know,
was that
the competitiveness.
Was that directed at the Iowa State bench or was that directed at an official?
It was towards the bench. Okay. There was no official around. It was right towards that bench.
Okay, because the footage I saw was in question.
What's being questioned about Caitlin Clark is her being a role model. And To me, I think there's some sexism involved in that opinion about Caitlin Clark. I know she is beloved and she is an icon. I, for one, love it. I love the trash talking. I like the arguing with officials because here's the thing. Is there a double standard? Maybe. Maybe. She is a star player. The star players sometimes get the double standard when it comes to the officials because not everybody can argue with the official. I'm not exactly advocating for, hey, yeah, let the stars get away with whatever they want. I'm just trying to say, why are we singling out Caitlin Clark for this? Zach Edey has been running over people with a car. And when I mean a car, his body. Mm-hmm. And those people he's running over are being flattened like pancakes. Mm-hmm. And those people that are pancakes with no syrup are getting the fouls.
I'm actually impressed you didn't go with cargo ship for the reference.
Too soon. I agree with you. I don't know if it's the wrestling fan in us that just loves a good villain story every once in a while.
Well, maybe that might be the one thing that women's basketball didn't exactly have this year, and that was just the villain. It's had everything else.
Up until last weekend when someone opened her mouth.
Well, yes, LSU. Although LSU, from last year's national championship game, hasn't – the villain reputation has kind of faded away a little bit. It wasn't as talked about as much.
Yeah.
No, just Kim Mulkey's a villain no matter what.
But, but Kim Mulkey already isn't exactly liked. Mm-hmm. And now she throws a fit during a press conference because somebody's going to put out what she calls a hit piece. But I'm sure what she's afraid of is that it's going to expose her in a way that she doesn't want to be exposed.
She's going to sue, though. So
just that's true.
You know. Yeah, right. No, no attorney worthwhile will take it. No, no.
I bet you somebody.
She won't have anything.
But I think last night, did we start to see kind of a turning of the tide of maybe the image of Caitlin Clark? Maybe I'm being crazy. I don't know. But I hadn't seen that much heat on Caitlin Clark. It's been, you know, ESPN promoting her, the record. I mean, it was on Peacock. You had to subscribe to Peacock to watch her break, you know, all the scoring records, Pete Maravich's record and all that. I believe that was on Peacock. But it's like a mass amount of negative attention and people talking negatively about Caitlin Clark. Hadn't really seen a whole lot of that.
She's not, like, she's being marketed, you know, like she's the it girl, but she's not warm and fuzzy. She's a killer, you know, like she goes out there and does what she does.
She's cold-blooded.
She is. But I'm just, the amount, like the trash talk, I think, for one, her trash talk is just really blatantly, like, F you, F that, F, you know, and Angel Reese is a little bit too much where I think she needs to dial it back. Like when she was doing the ring thing She should have just done it once or twice instead of 17 straight times. Like, after a while, you're
it got a bit forced.
It's cringy. It's like, it's weird. It got a bit, come on, calm down. But the thing with the arguing with the officials, I think that's the one thing. This gal is so lucky. Anybody else's kid ran out of there. I can't believe she has touched officials. And it's like it's getting to the NBA level. Every call in the NBA is the most atrocious, worst call ever. And these guys cannot believe it. And they're pleading their case and like, come on. And after a while, you're like, just take the foul. It's hard to compare her to any male counterpart because there's never been, or they have had, but we haven't, I guess, recently had anybody of that star status. Would you say maybe, I'm really struggling to find someone to be like her counterpart in the men's game?
Kyle Filipowski.
No.
I don't think there is one.
I'm talking about,
and I don't think there's been for a while.
I'm being sarcastic because Filipowski and his ability to trip opponents, but being a Duke player.
I don't see I know they're not on the same level, but I didn't see Marquise Noel go after officials the way that she's going and argue every. And she's not even arguing a call. She's arguing lack of calls. Somebody needs to tee her up and tee her up in the next game. Go boom right in the first quarter and go.
Well, then she's really going to go off.
Good.
In more than one way.
Kick her out of the game. Spoiled brat needs to be spanked.
Caitlin Clark would never be thrown out of the game. It would never happen.
She needs to be spanked because she is a brat, dude. And it gets in the way. I want to be like, yay, women's basketball.
Yeah, so you celebrated the cold cocking that she got from the Holy Cross player the other day.
I don't condone any. I don't condone any
you,
of that.
You saw that punch, didn't you?
I did, but I don't condone any of that. That was vicious.
In that West Virginia game, they let a lot go.
Yes, they did.
And West Virginia, those girls are tough. When they played in Manhattan, K-State had all they wanted of West Virginia.
J.J. Quinterly is really good.
Those girls play you tough the minute they get off the bus. They are playing you tough. But that girl, Caitlin Clark, she is the face of the game, and she needs to chill out, man. Yes. She's going to get it.
I think I got to split the difference because I do somewhat agree with you, Deej. Like the arguing with the officials, you can get there a little bit. But like, I fully agree with you. Like, this is I'm watching basketball. I want to see the competitiveness. Like, all these, there's never been a beloved NBA star that I love watching 30, 40 minutes a night that I'm like, glad he's so, huggly and cuddly on the bench and everything. I want a killer. Like, I want a guy that's going to go out there and tell you exactly what he's going to do and then do it.
Love it.
My one criticism about Caitlin Clark, sorry, I'll let you finish here in a second, but I think she can be a bad teammate at times. And I'm not talking during play, like huddling or something, when they're on the bench in huddles or in timeouts. I think she can be kind of a bad teammate. Looks that way.
I linked to it on social media over the weekend. If you get the chance to read Wright Thompson's piece that he wrote at ESPN on her, and gets into that topic. Hmm. She's aware of it. Everybody's aware of it within that program. Okay. And it's something that has been worked on. Wright did a stellar job on that piece.
It's like she had a moment after the first half of, I think, the last game or even the game before where she's arguing with the officials and her teammates aren't even backing her up. Everybody's like, oh, whatever. That part of her game, she needs to get rid of that. She's a stone cold killer, and I don't mind her talking junk in somebody's face. It's awesome. Go get them. But the referees, one time they make a call, and you go, you know what? I disagree, but that's fine. And walk back to wherever she's going. This whole, the getting in their face and stuff, they need to tee her up, man. Tee her up. And tear up tomorrow.
I'm looking so forward to when Deej's girls are ready to play basketball.
No. All right, Mr. Official!
You're going to be the one getting tossed.
I am. I am. And I hope that we continue the trend, though, of like, people allowing young women to be competitive like that. I think for the longest time there has been that double standard where you couldn't be like that. I like that she will take on the other team by herself and turn it on. I've never seen somebody with that click where they're just like, the way she can shoot when she's on fire. Love it, dude. I like that.
Yeah, and I know, Gino, I can never pronounce his last
name. Auriemma.
Yeah, Auriemma. And he was talking about Paige Buchers early in the year, and he's like, you know, we got to work on some shot selection. He's talking about Paige just kind of waving everybody off and get out of my way. This is my offense kind of thing. Like, when you have a person that's on, that is LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, these guys have been there. I mean, that's part of having a superstar player in your team. Now, again, 20 times in the first half, you're like, okay, we got to tone this back a little bit. But that is part of it. It's the competitiveness. It is the willingness to go at five girls, guys, by yourself and win the game. That is what, to me, what sports needs. It's what it's about.
Absolutely. So, I love it.
We take a timeout when we come back. We're going to move it up a segment because Jeff Mitty will join us at 4:40. Up next, we crowd a new Jabroni of the Week after these words.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Know your role and shut your mouth. You jabroni.
You jabronis hit the jackpot.
That Hollywood blonde jabroni, Hulk Hogan.
Ow.
Is this jabroni's name?
Jabroni of the week.
I know Troy hasn't. Owen, have you been watching, and Deej, maybe you know as well, you've been paying attention to the WWE stuff heading into WrestleMania and The Rock and all that?
It is impossible to ignore is where I'm at this point.
I'm not going to lie. It's been really good.
Yeah, I think... yesterday might have been one of the best Raws of my memory.
I watched the segments. I don't watch Raw, but...
I didn't watch the full thing, but, I watched a good chunk of it and then the highlights after, and I'm like, man, this is... It's really good again. It's something else.
Well,
looky who comes crawling back.
This guy.
Both of you.
Not to spill the beans on this, but it's better because Vince isn't involved anymore.
Hey, I'll tell you this. I've thought that since I was 16 years old.
Wait a minute.
CM Punk was right when he said it. And sure enough, here we are. And he was right.
Whoa, you guys saying that Vince has got bad ideas?
Was it last well... And he's also a giant creep.
How about a horrible person with horrible ideas?
Well, and they also fired their top what was Kevin Dunn's?
One of the executive producers.
He was in charge of running Raw, and he just was coasting. You know, wasn't doing anything new, and it got pretty stale. The way they were running shows, and now they're doing continuous shots from guy from the ring going backstage, and then backstage to the ring with somebody else. It was this is really cool. This is Emmy stuff. It's good stuff. Good cinematography, I believe, is the category.
Dude, wait. I saw The Rock has long hair now. Is that,
no. Oh, what?
I saw a clip where he has longer hair, not
No, he's still bald.
Okay.
Are you looking at one of his cousins? One of his 17 that are famous?
Yeah, that's what it was.
was he working on that cameo for his TV show?
Oh, no, it's John Cena.
Were you just watching Moana? Is that what it was?
You're welcome.
Okay, let's get to Jabroni of the Week. Three dishonorable mentions will culminate with Jabroni of the Week. My first dishonorable mention is going to go to Georgia football head coach Kirby Smart. Eesh. Trevor Etienne got a DUI this past weekend. Here's the issue. I think we all remember the story of Kevin Willock and Chandler LaCroix. They were tragically killed in an accident when they were drag racing against another player from the team, and they were killed. And then, not even counting that, in recent years, there have been 14 Georgia football players that have been charged with some sort of moving violation in a vehicle. Like, the message still isn't across about making the right decision there in Athens.
Boss Hogg needs to get – oh, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Rusko well, B. Coltrane.
And Kirby Smart said at this past summer's SEC Media Days that like they bring in police to talk to the team. Like, it's still not getting across. Guys make mistakes. I understand that. Next dishonorable mention, I'm going to give it to Kentucky because Kentucky, the men's team in the NCAA tournament, they took the toughest upset in the first round. They lost to 14 seed Oakland, 80-76. Whatever that white guy's name is, he was crushing threes for the Golden Bears or the Golden Grizzlies, whatever they're called in Oakland, Michigan. He was 10 of 20. It's like, good Lord.
Jeez.
Does that guy have eligibility left? Does he want to transfer?
Yeah.
With that, it brings up the question because 2 years ago, I mean, Kentucky as a two seed lost to St. Peter's. Last year, lost to K-State in the second round. Is Coach Cal about on his way out in Lexington?
Whoa.
There is a lot of heat there.
So much heat that the message boards crashed.
Dang. They hopped on.
Yeah. They had to voice their opinion about how much they hate Coach Cal now.
Oh, boy.
So things not looking good in Lexington, Kentucky. My last dishonorable mention, I'm going to go with Long Beach State Athletic Director Bobby Smitherin. Not Slytherin.
Not Slytherin.
Smitherin.
What a name. Not Smitherines, but Smitherin.
We tried to smother in the head coach of Long Beach State men's basketball. Mm-hmm. Now, they have a 17-year head coach in Dan Monson. Now, before the Big West tournament, they had mutual agreement to part ways, but was allowed to coach through the tournament before they lost, and then the season would be done. Well, as a 4 seed, Long Beach State won the Big West and ends up as a 15 seed in the NCAA tournament. So old Smitherin not looking too good.
Yikes.
But this is where he gets real jabroni because they made it to the NCAA tournament. Now it's like, oh, what do we do here? Now this is kind of weird. Believe it or not, Bobby Smitherin took credit for the team's success. And let's see here. I had it here somewhere. All right. This is a quote talking to the Associated Press, and he was dead serious about this. My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked.
But I mean,
yeah, but it worked.
That's.
Name one time anybody's ever said that is like, not to, you know,
toot my own horn,
but I'm going to toot my own horn.
I kind of thought that would happen. And that's what
that was my plan all along.
I like that, man.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's put ourselves in his shoes, though, real quick. He's a first-year AD at Long Beach State. He wanted to make a statement, obviously, by going with a change with a 17th-year head coach. He wanted to throw his weight around a little bit, and now it is completely backfired, and now maybe a PR move, trying to protect himself a little bit.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Dan Monson, too, has a lot of friends in college basketball. He's really well-respected, so already the decision to let him go, people were like, what? And not good.
Is Smitherin, by chance, was his dad the AD before, and that's the only reason he got the job? Because it just... This feels like a kid that's just a little too big for his britches.
I'm not my father.
Yeah, just trying to change stuff to do it. I don't know.
Robert Smitherin, yeah. Yeah. All right, and then my Jabroni of the Week was an easy one this week. My Jabroni of the Week, Nebraska.
Whoa.
Because you may have heard that heading into this year's NCAA tournament, they had still never won an NCAA tournament game, and they had an 8-seed Nebraska team. Casey Tominaga was, I'm going to say, he was a heartthrob in Lincoln, Nebraska.
They love him.
Because the kid was kind of on fire. He's going to lead them to their first victory. No, they didn't win. They lost to, of all teams, Texas A&M, the same university that just took Nebraska's athletic director. And Nebraska lost 98-83, and Nebraska has still never won an NCAA tournament game. So, Nebraska, You're my Jabroni of the Week.
Fare thee well. Fare thee well. Maybe next year.
I don't feel bad for them one bit. Actually, I have a number of friends that are Nebraska fans, and I was like, I saw their Snapchat stories. They're all going to Memphis for the game because this is the year. Had to be there in person for it. And Texas A&M kind of kicked their ass.
They did, dude. That was a frisky Texas A&M team.
That was a hot team. Yeah. I wouldn't want to play them.
The fact that they played Houston as well as they did, sending that game to overtime the other night.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that game would have gone to overtime. I don't think so. Should have been close.
Yeah.
I got some favorable whistles. We take a break. When we come back, K-State women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty will be on the show when we come back. We are back on the game. Mitch Fortner with Troy Coverdale, David G, and Owen Burke. And we're now joined by K-State women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty. The season wrapped up on Sunday in the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament. Final score against Colorado, 63-50 in a sold-out Bramlage Coliseum. Coach, really appreciate your time. Just your thoughts on the season coming to an end. I know it was earlier than what you wanted, what you expected, but still a fun season and a heck of a turnout on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a great crowd. Yeah, the crowd was phenomenal. Our fans were phenomenal all year, particularly in the second half of the season. You know, disappointed. You know, we go all year and really don't have a game like that offensively, and just couldn't get a lot of things going. Had a pretty solid first half, really. But, boy, the second half wasn't very good, and just tough to end that way. But, yeah, overall, you know, it's still pretty early. But overall, did a lot of good things, 26 wins, obviously get the ranking up into the top five. Yeah, disappointed the way it ended, and that's the tough part right now.
And I got to imagine it's one of the tougher ends to a season that you've had in your career. What did you do the next day? How did you spend your money Monday after, you know, unfortunately suffering that loss?
Didn't come in as early as normal, although we met as a staff in the afternoon going over, you know, player meeting schedules, all the stuff, the end of the year stuff. Hey, when do we want to get back at it? How much time do you give them off? What's our travel schedule going forward? Certainly looked at the portal, all those things. And so today I've had a lot of player meetings, and we'll continue tomorrow. I'll have staff meetings the rest of the week. And so, yeah, you know, you're doing stuff now that you don't want to do, but this time of the year, once the season ends, you're right back at it. And you know, this is maybe my least favorite time of the year once the season ends, because you have everything from player portal issues to, you know, coaches maybe having opportunities and just all those things. So it's probably my least favorite time of the year once the season ends.
Yeah, because we know how it all works now. You're trying to get at that and recruit. Meanwhile, probably recruiting some of your own players. But, you know, we'll briefly touch here on Ayoka Lee, because, you know, she's the one on the team that has the big decision to make. She can come back for an extra year, or she can move on and either, you know, continue to play basketball professionally, get into her career that I know she wants to get into. But with that conversation, do you have to have a portion of that conversation about when you need to know about that decision? Because, you know, obviously the way your recruit is going to be affected by her decision.
Yeah, I think that I want her to make the decision when it is where she can have peace with her decision, because you don't want to rush somebody into as big a decision as this. And certainly you don't get to, you know, it's hard to go back on that decision. So I'll give her as much time as she needs. From a recruiting standpoint, yeah, if she doesn't come back, that changes things, and any delay can, but any delay, you may miss out on a few opportunities, but I'm confident enough that the right opportunity would come down. We want to add some more depth along that front line anyways, so we're, you know, having that conversation with people anyways, but I'm going to give her as much time as she needs.
Well, you kind of got into my next question there, and you mentioned that front line. But is there anything else specifically you're looking for in the transfer portal?
You know, not right now. Not right now. We would be focused on the front line. We'll see how our player meetings go and our group. But that is our most immediate need right now. I thought we made good progress through the year. I think that. I think our young guards in Terrence Ives and Zy Walker have such a bright future. We've got some veterans guard play back as well. So I feel good about that. I think that mainly just getting more depth along that front line, that'll be our focus here in the early weeks of the portal.
Is the ideal time to open the portal right at the end of the season? Like, if you had the choice on when that portal would open, is that what you would pick?
I think it's ridiculous the way we're doing it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think you're putting coaches in the worst possible spot when, for example, let's say you're a team that's on the bubble that doesn't make it and you want to go to the WBIT, but yet you might have players leaving and you're injured or whatever. And I think it's horrible. And you got players that are saying, I want to go into the portal early because I want to get ahead of the curve because I've got to take care of my need. So my recommendation, I made this a while back, and I think our men might have this proposal out just recently, but I wanted it to be 48 hours. You could not go in until 48 hours after your team finished their season. So there wouldn't be a portal date. There would be your season ends, and you can now, 48 hours after that season ends, go in the portal. What that would prevent is it would prevent players from feeling like, oh, I need to not play in the WNIT or the WBIT or the NCAA tournament for that matter. We saw players do that. And I just think it puts teams, programs, universities in a bad spot the way we have it right now.
Is that 2 hour, or is that 2 day window? Because you mentioned you're getting into the player conversation, so that 2 day window, that's enough time to also give yourself an opportunity to talk to your players?
Well, I think usually you have a player like us. I mean, we had him today. I think it's enough time. I mean, I'm one that I like to have those discussions pretty early because I like to just get a feel for, you know, where our players are at and just, you know, discuss it. It's fresh. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it might be 72 hours might be the best because, certainly yesterday, I don't think anybody wanted to have those conversations yesterday, but I think, you know, by today, I had good conversations with our players, and you could tell they were still hurting, but starting to heal.
Speaking with KSA Women's Basketball Coach Jeff Mitty on the game, got a couple more for you. It's been really fun to get to know Gabby Gregory over the last couple of years, and I think her star power and how she'll be remembered has really taken off in a positive way just over these last couple of months and this season, and the NCAA tournament, people have really fallen in love with the personality of Gabby Gregory as a person and a player. Do you have a favorite Gabby Gregory memory or story that you cherish the most?
Boy, you should have gave me a heads up on this one. I'll be honest about like the memories with Gabby. I mean, obviously the Iowa one was a big one, just being, and that was kind of the start of the Gap Goat deal. So after the game, I mean, they are taking pictures in the locker room with that stuffed animal goat, right? And it was just such a joyous locker room afterwards. But I think, honestly, my favorite memories are more practice memories, after practice discussions, just those kind of things, because her personality is such that don't have any conversation. There's not, she'll tell you the truth about things, and she'll have conversations about basketball, competitors, about how she feels about other teams, and she's real open about it. And she's such a fun personality that I think that's what our fans enjoyed in this time where you get a lot of like careful interviews, coach speak type interviews, and players are very very guarded in their answers. Gabby is the exact opposite of.
Uh-oh, I think we lost Coach. Oh, no, we lost Coach. Coach, are you there? Oh, we somehow got disconnected. That's really unfortunate because he sparked a memory that I had from the Iowa game last year here because of Gabby in a press conference. Boy, that's too bad that we just lost Coach Mitty, but we want to thank him for his time. Real quick, that story was... I asked her the question because she was looking to hit the game-winning free throws in the game against Iowa when Caitlin Clark was here last year. And I asked her the question, were you nervous heading to the free throw line? And she said, I was nervous as blank. Nervous as S.
And I remember that.
I was like, oh, there's Gabby Gregory. All right, let's go ahead and take go ahead and do what you got to do because I'm sure Coach is calling back in. Just tell him thank you for calling in there, Owen. It's unfortunate that we got disconnected there, but I would imagine the Gap Goat would ride off into the sunset with Gabby. Honestly, I think that would be actually appropriate because that was her thing. She ran with it, was creative with it.
I love the fact that she even set it up in such a way that she was able to get the commissions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of those wonderful creative NIL aspects of things. Awesome. I thought that was thinking ahead on her part as well.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really captured a moment for sure. And a lot of people bought into it. It was awesome. It's awesome.
Looks like you called back in. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to go ahead and end hour number one. Hour number two, when we come back, we'll get into Cam Carter and K-State into the transfer portal, plus Ask Us Anything. A little NFL talk when we come back on the game.